observer, Cole.
We have a very advanced program, something very different.
An opportunity to reduce your sentence considerably.
And possibly play an important role in returning the human race to the surface of the Earth.
No license, no prints, no warrants.
But he took on five cops like he was dust into the eyeballs.
What year is this?
What year do you think it is?
1996.
That's the future, James. Do you think you're living in the future?
I'm simply trying to gather information to help the people in the present trace the path of the virus.
We're not in the present now.
This is a place for crazy people.
I'm not saying you're not mentally ill. For all I know, you're crazy as a loon.
The army of the 12 monkeys, they're the ones that spread the virus.
Monkeys.
He's been living in a meticulously constructed fantasy world, and that world is starting to disintegrate.
You haven't become addicted to that dying world?
No, sir.
He needs help.
I think I'm crazy when people start dying next month. I don't belong here.
You're here because of the system.
I know some things that you don't know.
Yes, my son.
You sent me to the wrong year.
You're certain of that?
Science ain't an exact science.
You had a bullet from World War I in your leg, James. How did it get there?
I don't know.
You're a trained psychiatrist. You know the difference between what's real and what's not.
You said that I had delusions. You said you could explain.
I'm trying to.
I want the future to be unknown.
Please! I can help you. Get you out.
We're all monkeys.
The thing mutates! We live underground!
They're watching you.
I just want to do my part to get us back on top in charge of the planet.
Time it is. It's movie time. Yes, we're going to talk about 12 Monkeys. You know, you've probably seen it already. It's from the 90s. And we're going to go through the whole movie. Plot spoilers, right? We're not going to wait. We're just going to get into it. What's this movie about? Well, let me tell you what it's all about. The nerds killing us. That's what it's about. Is it worth it? Have you seen it yet? Well, I advise you highly to see it. This is a great movie. This is a top 50 movie. Top 50. I don't know about top 10, but top 50 for sure. Right. It's over 2 hours. There's a caveat there. You know, I don't like that. But that doesn't mean that it should have been shaved down shorter. But yeah, 2 hours. Should you pay for it if you've never seen it? Yes, pay for it. It's good. Great movie. It's worth watching a few times, in my opinion. I've seen it maybe 5 to 10 times over my lifetime. Not from the red pill perspective, though, which is what we got today. And by the way, the movie poster itself, if you'll notice, has Bruce Willis with the all-seeing eye highlighted with the sigil of the 12 monkeys. We'll get into that because it is an initiatory tale. Of sorts, as you'll find out in the conclusion. All right, so what's the movie about? If you decided you just want to listen to my humble analysis, then let's get into it. It's about, well, okay, so let's see. It's 2035, and a virus has been released by an animal activist group called the 12 Monkeys. That's sort of like the setup for this. And this virus forces mankind underground. The animals are the only thing left to live above ground. The animals and Mother Nature take back over, take their rightful place. Mankind, the disgusting beast that he is, must go underground. And underground, these scientists are trying to figure out how to combat this virus above ground. So they're sending prisoners above ground to collect samples and sort of study the origins of the virus. And they dangle the idea of a full pardon over their heads in exchange. Some echoes of slavery there, a bit. Well, your boy Bruce Willis, he's in this. And he plays a guy named James Cole. A prisoner reaching for that that big old dangling carrot. And he goes above ground to get samples. That's kind of the gist of what this movie's about. Oh, and by the way, they can travel through time. It ain't perfect, but they're doing their best, right? So that's it. That's the setup. Now the film starts out, and you see James Cole, Bruce Willis, going back and forth, above ground, below ground. You know where we're going with this. As above, so below. Hermetic axiom. As dictated by the god of magic Thoth, the Hermes Trismegistus, to all the followers of the alchemical process, ritual magic, Kabbalah, all these occult sciences believe in the concept, the macro connected to the micro, the practitioner on earth changing reality through the cosmos. You know my spiel. You've been here before. So they're showing, I believe, figuratively, a literal sort of as above, so below connection here. Which, again, we'll get into that in the conclusion. But they send James Cole back in time to 1996. Right? Because, again, we're in 2035. And they send James Cole, Bruce Willis, back to 1996. Because they're like, look, you want your full part and you need to find this, get more info on the 12 Monkeys group that's going to unleash this virus. But they screw up. They send him back to 1990. My God, Tupac's still alive. What a time to be alive. And he ends up in a mental hospital. Right? Because he's in there talking about how he's telling people how he's from the future and there's a virus unleashing. And they're like, oh, okay, buddy. Here you go. We're going to put you in this little van right here. Yeah, don't worry. It's padded. You're not going to hurt yourself. So they put him in this mental hospital, and here he meets Brad Pitt, a.k.a. Jeffrey Gones. Now, fun fact, they filmed this movie at the Eastern State Penitentiary, right? Out there by Philly. And, and Ghost Adventures have been there. I think it was, who was in the prison there? Al Capone was in there. You can do your ghost tours there, your ghost hunting tours there. It's a good time. But now, you gotta listen to what Brad Pitt's character, and by the way, one of Brad Pitt's greatest performances in this film. I mean, that's worth the price of admission. This guy can act his ass off. Anyways, you hear Jeffrey Gones, Brad Pitt, and I try to give you the names, right? So you can picture this. That's my training wheels. We'll do that in a little bit. Jeffrey Gones, Brad Pitt, he's talking to James Cole, Bruce Willis, about the games inside the, because they're in a sort of like a mental nursing home sort of environment. And he's like, hey, we got some games over here. They got drugs to tranquilize you. He starts questioning who's the prisoner and who's the guard, right? This is a Gnostic spin. Talks about the TV, consumerism. And I'm going to play the clip for you here in a second, but it's kind of like the idea of social media, right? You're not paying for it, therefore you are the product. And yeah, by the way, this is classic cinema history. This is one of the greatest cinematic moments in all of history, in my opinion, in my humble opinion.
Yo, Jeffrey! Gones!
What?
Hey, look here. This here's James. Now, do me a favor. Why don't you show him around? Tell him the TV rules. Show him the games and stuff, okay?
How much you gonna pay me? How much? I'd be doing your job.
$5,000, my man. That enough?
$5,000?
I wire checked your account as usual.
$5,000.
$5,000. $5,000.
I'll give him the deluxe mental hospital tour.
My man.
Kid around. Makes him feel good.
Hey,
love you. You're the prisoners. No, you're the guards.
Now you got it.
Right. Okay. It's all in good fun. Here's some games here, and there's... Get out! He's in my chair. Games. Here's some games. Games I want to get out. See? More games. Games, they vegetize you. See? Yeah. If you play the games, you're voluntarily taking a tranquilizer. I guess they give you some chemical restraints, huh?
Drugs!
What did they give you? Thorazine? Haldol? How much?
Learn your drugs, know your doses. It's elementary.
I need to make a telephone call.
A telephone call? That's communication with the outside world. Doctor's discretion. Hey, all of these nuts could just make phone calls. It could spread insanity oozing through telephone cables, oozing to the ears of all these poor, sane people, infecting them. Wackos everywhere, plague of madness.
Come on, let's go.
In fact, very few of us here are actually mentally ill. I'm not saying you're not mentally ill. For all I know, you're crazy as a loon. But that's not why you're here. It's not why you're here. You're here because of the system. There's the television. It's all right there. All right there. Look, listen, kneel, pray. Commercials. Not productive anymore. At least to make things anymore. It's all automated. What are we for then? We're consumers, Jim. Okay. Buy a lot of stuff, you're a good citizen. But if you don't buy a lot of stuff, if you don't, what are you then, I ask you? What? Mentally ill. Back, Jim, back. If you don't buy things, toilet paper, new cars, computerized blenders, electrically operated sexual devices, stereo systems with brain-implanted headphones, screwdrivers, miniature built-in radar devices, voice-activated computers.
Take it easy, Jeffrey. Be calm.
Right. That's right. You're a very attractive woman. So, if you want to watch a particular television program, since all my children know something, you go to the charge nurse, you tell the day, the time, the show you want to see is on, but you have to tell her before the show is scheduled to be on. There's this guy, and he was always requesting shows that had already played. Yes, no, you have to tell her before. He couldn't quite grasp the idea that the charge nurse couldn't make it be yesterday. She couldn't turn back time, thank you, Einstein. Now he was nuts. He was a fruitcake,
okay,
Jim.
Jeffrey. You're gonna get a shot. I warned you.
Right. I got a little carried away explaining the inner workings of the institution to Jim.
Now, what's curious is that, and we're not gonna unpack that whole thing. You're intelligent enough. You know what we're saying about all this. All these curious elements, like questioning who's in the prison and who's the guard. Well, like, this is a Gnostic spin. This is an inverted reality. We're on this prison planet, right? It's basically, you know, questioning authority, questioning everything you've been told. Is everything a distraction? Are they trying to tranquilize you? Are you just being the consumer? Are you used as livestock? And what's curious is that Brad Pitt actually spent some time at a psych ward in Philly preparing for this role. You know, where bad things happen in Philadelphia. But he wasn't actually paid much for this film because, you know, this was 1985 and his big films hadn't dropped yet. Interview with the Vampire was in the can still. Seven was in the can still when he was working on this movie. This guy was crushing it. My God, how busy was this guy? And I would argue that this speech that he gives fits into David Fincher's Fight Club, which, you know, obviously Brad Pitt was playing the role of Tyler Durden. Anyhow, this speech, he's dropping massive ideas about, you know, how the games, they sort of put us in a vegetative state, which you've seen. You know what we're talking about when you see people getting absorbed into, like, TikTok or the Facebook or the Instagram, the phones, they're programming us. I remember back before I had an iPhone, back in the BlackBerry days, when you just used a phone for the utility of what you needed it for, I had a friend with an iPhone. He was consumed with it. He was always on it. And I thought, what could possibly be that interesting? But I get it, right? That's not a condemnation of it. I'm just as guilty. I spent hours on that thing. But it's by design. They know how to do this to us. And that's what Brad Pitt knew back in 1995. Who's the prisoner? Who's the guard? The prisoner is firmly planted inside the system and perpetuates the system. It's like some real Charles Manson stuff here, right? Which, oh, by the way, before I forget, there is a connection here. If you consider, you know, Charles Manson started the air, trees, water, animals stuff, the hippie environmental stuff. And there's some arguments that that's what this film could be about, is like how we're treating Mother Nature, and eventually Mother Nature is going to fight back. And that's kind of what the modus operandi of the 12 Monkeys animal activist group is, right? But the idea is here, if you don't conform, you therefore are the deranged one. And they have to keep you outside the system. You are the outlier, because you have not conformed and fit into what the masses deem normal. Hence censorship. That's why they censor the truthers, because we don't fit into the mass consensus of reality. Too dangerous for the masses. They refer to it as mental divergence in the film. And what was curious is that Brad Pitt's character even is talking about Siri. He talks about voice-activated commercials. Did you catch that? You can listen to it again. Let's do it 100 times, all you want. But anyways, great clip there. One of my favorite moments in cinematic history. What's Brad Pitt on my list? Leo's number one. Tom Cruise is number two. Brad Pitt's probably number three. Now look, just because they're all incredibly handsome, that does not mean I'm gay. they're all just phenomenal actors. I can't explain it. Okay, James Cole, Bruce Willis. He's at the mental hospital, and they bring him into the board to review him so he can like plead his case of why he's not crazy anymore. And we notice, because we're all very woke here, that this is more symbolism of as above, so below. Because the board of doctors there, above ground at the mental hospital, they're talking to him. And just previous to this, he was talking to the board of scientists below ground. I'll put the photos on the Instagram, at Isaac Weishaupt. You've already liked and you've already subscribed. The link was in the show notes. Remember that? But that is, again, more symbolism of as above, so below. The scientists underground, Cole has to petition with them and be like, look, you need to send me above ground and give me a shot, blah, blah, blah. He's doing the same thing in the mental hospital. Hey, you need to let me out, give me a shot, blah, blah, blah. But Cole's dumbass, he's there telling him how he's from the future. So you can guess how well that served him. And they're like, okay, bro, you got it, buddy. So it's nighttime and they're in the hospital still. He doesn't get out. Plot spoiler. And James Cole, Bruce Willis, is talking to Brad Pitt, Jeff Goins. Goins? It's spelled Goins, but they pronounce it Goins. Gons? I don't know. And anyways, they're talking, and we hear a little bit, like, almost a bit of, like, on the terrain theory, germ theory stuff. Remember, shout out to Greg Carlwood from the Higher Side Chats. He appeared on our show just a few weeks back talking about this stuff, about germ theory and terrain theory. And here's your boy Brad Pitt talking to Bruce Willis about it. This is, similar to how James Cole is trying to explain how he's from the future. Like, people just don't, they can't understand and grasp this reality.
You know what crazy is? Crazy is majority rules. Yeah, Take germs, for example.
Germs.
In the 18th century, no such thing. Nothing. No one ever imagined such a thing. No sane person anyway. Long comes this doctor. Semmelweis. Semmelweis comes along. He's trying to convince people, well, other doctors mainly, that there are these teeny tiny invisible bad things called germs that get into your body and make you sick. He's trying to get doctors to wash their hands. What is this guy? Crazy? Teeny tiny invisible. What do you call germs? What? Now, cut to the 20th century. Last week, as a matter of fact, right before I got dragged into this hellhole. I go in to order a burger in this fast food joint. The guy, he drops it on the floor. Jim, He picks it up. He wipes it off. He hands it to me like it was all okay. What about the germs, I say? He says, I don't believe in germs. Germs are just a plot they made up so they can sell you disinfectants and soaps. Now, he's crazy, right? See? There's no right, there's no wrong, there's only popular opinion. You believe in germs, right?
I'm not crazy.
Of course not. Of course not. You want to escape, right? That's very sane. That's very sane. I can help you. You want me to, don't you? Get you out.
Now again, it's the same concept reinforced from the previous speech that Jeffrey Goins gave to James Cole. The, you know, crazy is majority rule sometimes, consensus reality, which is why you see the mainstream media pushing one narrative generally, or trying to, right? I mean, there's bounds and limits within this consensus reality, but that's the idea. Now, and this is why censorship happens, right? Because you got these people out here pushing alternative views of the world, and that's not good for business, right? It's not good for the manipulation. Goins, he wants to help Cole get out. So what he does is he creates chaos in the hospital. The staff is distracted. And he physically gives Cole the key to get out. So Cole, he's trying to get out, but he's all doped up. He's all Thorazined out. And what's curious is that they do this during a commercial that is playing on the Dayroom TV about financial investments and financial opportunities. Because again, this is another, you know, American capitalist culture critique. Say that three times fast. American capital, yeah. Another patient. He repeats the commercial, right? So they're showing us how the masses are like, they just repeat what the TV tells them. And also, they talk about how the Florida Keys are beautiful this time of year, which is a theme you'll see in the movie. Basically, they're showing us, much like They Live, the repeated messages talking to us, manipulating us, controlling us. Now, he tries to get out. James Cole's trying to get out, but he's all doped up. They catch him. They throw him in a padded cell, and boom, he's gone. Disappears. Because the scientists from 2035, they zap him back underground to 2035 to report on what happened. He's like, hey, dummies, you sent me to 1990. Not 1996. Because again, they haven't perfected time travel yet. So they are like, okay, we'll send you back. This time we're going to send you right to the right spot. 1996, Baltimore. This is the exact moment when the virus is supposed to be unleashed. Get that intel, report back, full pardon, boom. And then here we get to learn more about the other main character of this show, Dr. Catherine Rayleigh. She is the doctor at she was at the mental hospital, and she kind of is curious about James Cole. She's like, something resonates true with this guy. She kind of has sympathy for him back in 1990. So, boom. James Cole's back in 1996, and we hear Dr. Catherine Rayleigh giving a lecture about apocalyptic diseases.
In a season of great pestilence, there are omens and divinations.
And one of the four beasts gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials full of the wrath of God, who liveth forever and ever. Revelations. In the 14th century, according to the accounts of local officials of that time, this man appeared suddenly in the village of Wyle near Stonehenge in April of 1362. Using unfamiliar words and speaking in a strange accent, the man made dire prognostications about a pestilence which he said would wipe out humanity in approximately 600 years.
Obviously, this plague doomsday scenario is considerably more compelling when reality supports it with a virulent disease, whether it's the bubonic plague, smallpox, or AIDS. And now we have technological horrors as well, such as chemical warfare, which first reared its ugly head during the deadly mustard gas attacks of World War I. During such an attack in the French trenches in October of 1917, we have an account of this soldier,
who during an assault was wounded by shrapnel and hospitalized, apparently in a state of hysteria. Doctors found that he had lost all comprehension of French, but that he spoke English fluently, albeit in regional dialect they didn't recognize. The man, though physically unaffected by the gas, was beside himself. He claimed that he had come from the future, that he was looking for a pure germ that would ultimately wipe mankind off the face of the earth starting in the year 1996.
Hey there, it's your boy Isaac. As you know, I have a support system for this podcast. For those of you that would like to support, you can hit the links in the show notes for all the details. I won't bore you with all the details, but patreon.com/IlluminatiWatcher is one option. The other option is Rockfin. Rockfin.com/creator/Isaac. Link in the show notes, as always. Now, on the Patreon, I got a few tiers. No more tiers. I got a few tiers, tier 1, 2, and 3. And tier 2 and 3, they get a monthly shout-out for their support. So we're going to do that right now. We're going to blast through these names. And then I'll give you your tier 3. Tier 3 gets a live stream with me. A little Ask Me Anything. I'll announce the date on that at the end. Well, hell, I'll just give it to you now. January 14th for those tier 3 folks. Check your Patreon messages. Let's get into it. Let's get into my list. Heather, Eddie, Taryn, Jeff, G-Man, Justin. This guy's been on here a minute. G-Man, Justin, Frank, Chris, King, Switchy, still on the list. Liz, Cheryl, Michael, Marjorie. Marjorie, I saw your comment the other day. I'll respond to it. I'll respond to it on Patreon. Christy, Vermont Hip Hop Collective, Joe Sauce, Laura Susie, Chris, Charles, Keisha, Daniel, Renata, Zach, Russell. Russell with the coolest last name ever. Chris. And I don't pronounce all the last names. In fact, if I misstate your name, let me know. Hit me on the Patreon DMs. Ramona with the... So we got, and I don't always say the last names, but Russell Dragon and Ramona Frankenstein. Coolest names ever. Jason. Rosalinda, still on the list, holding it down. IROC. Tanya. Raymond. Trey. Aya. Jacob. Allen. Sammy. Annalisa. Phil Goodrich Art, still holding it down. Selling them UFO paintings. Check him out. Brooke. Eric. In fact, if you looked on my Instagram, I posted a photo of my studio gallery wall in progress. Mostly done. Still got a few more pieces to hang. Where were we here? Eric. Jason. B-Dur. Alexander. Suze. Anonymous. Francie. Sorcha. Betty. Thomas. Dawn. Elizabeth. Barry. Roxy. Roxy. Inge. Brian. Ashton. Jade. Allie, Renee, we got our Brandon Anaya holding it down still. We're getting close to the holding it down list here. CC, Spry Ute, Joe Nips, Brandon Lord, Roach Cast, Yaxel. Did I pronounce that name? How did I pronounce it? Yak. I go by Yak. That's right. David, M. Gibb, Leslie B. I Will See, Darcy, Jeff. These people have been holding down forever here. Ale Mac, Whitney, Prophet 7, Denali, Jade, Pragmatic Chick, SPG, William, Alexandria, Katie, J-Po in the house, Joshua, Austin, Southside Tarot holding it down, Sarah, Brandon, Jennifer, Cheryl, what's up, Cheryl? This is all tier 3 folks right here. We're at the tier 3 list at the Stratosphere here. Where were we? Brandon, Jennifer, Cheryl, Crystal, Taylor Blake still on the list. Kara, and last but not least, still the king of Patreon here, Big Fezzik. King or queen, I don't want to assume genders here. All right, thank you everyone for your support. I appreciate you. If you're not on the Patreon team, if you're not on the Rockfin team, check them out. Maybe you can get in on the Patreon tier 2 and 3 shoutouts next month. Like I said, we've got a live stream where you can ask me anything for the tier 3 folks on January 14th, 2021. Talking about these 7 golden vials that man needs to live forever. Oh my god, these nerds are creating the immortality juice. The juice, baby. So, now what's curious, and we're going to play this clip right now. She is signing books after the lecture. And you hear some curious stuff happen with this interchange with some of the attendees trying to get their books signed.
Going right out to get vaccinated.
Hi.
I think Dr. Rayleigh, you've given your alarmist a bad name.
I have.
Mm-hmm. Surely there's very real and very convincing data that the planet cannot survive the excesses of the human race.
This is true.
Proliferation of atomic devices, uncontrolled breeding habits, pollution of land, sea, and air, the rape of the environment. In this context, isn't it obvious that Chicken Little represents the same vision? And that Homo sapiens' motto, let's go shopping, is the cry of the true lunatic?
Dr. Rayleigh.
Please, Dr. Rayleigh. I wonder if you're aware of my own studies.
Now, the first guy you hear briefly, he's like, oh boy, he's scared. And he's like, I'm going to get my vaccines. Right? Which has its own implications we won't get into. Then we hear this sort of technocrat-type character. Another main character in the show, but like we don't know much about him at this point. We'll call him Ponytail. I don't know what his name is. It doesn't really matter. We'll call him Ponytail because he's got a beautiful one. Beautiful 90s ponytail. He's talking about... He reveals the true justification these psychopaths have for creating a new reality. He's like, oh, you know, a virus isn't so bad. Mankind needs to put in his place. Because all we do is shop and destroy the earth. Consumerism, capitalism. I mean, the real question is like, is he right? Is he right? Is he wrong? I'll leave for that for you to decide. But then James Cole, he forces the doctor to drive him to Philly again because he wants to go where the bad things happen. And by the way, wasn't Trump alleged to be a time traveler? Or Baron Trump, his son? Just a fun little play there on ideas. It was a book by Ingersoll Lockwood called Mysterious, what was it called? Something about Baron Trump and his mysterious travels underground or something. Very curious. Other than that, I don't think there's a lot of similarities. I didn't read the book, but if you see any, let me know. Hit me up. Now, James Cole, he's in the car. Dr. So-and-so, she's driving him around. And he's reflecting on how much he misses humanity. Because you got to understand, he's been living underground in this prison for decades. And he misses simple things, like the music on the radio. It's very soothing to him. And look, personal side note, I remember when I was in basic training, not hearing music it was like a month at least. And then one day, I overheard music, and I think it was one of the drill instructors was playing, I don't remember, it doesn't matter. I heard music, and it was like this profound experience. It was so beautiful. I wish I could remember the song, that'd be a funner story. But yeah, when you get deprived of those things, I couldn't imagine for years, there's a legitimate response and a pleasing factor in your brain. So that was interesting. Cool story, bro. James Cole, he wants to go to Philly to find the virus. He wants to find the 12 monkeys. And oh, by the way, he's got this voice in his head throughout the whole film, Bob. Bob's talking to him. And we don't really know. We don't get closure on what this is. We don't know if it's him being legitimately crazy, or I would argue that the scientists programmed it into him, because you find out that there's supposed to be spying devices hidden embedded in their teeth in the future. You remember Margot Kidder, who was a star of the film Superman? She smashed her teeth out in the woods talking about how the Illuminati or whoever was putting implants in her teeth. Remember that? What's up with that? Is there a connection there? I didn't see any, but that was very curious that they put the spy devices in the tooth. So it's argued that Bob, the voice in his head, comes from his own teeth. Now, James Cole and Dr. So-and-so, they're looking for the 12 Monkeys group because, again, they, according to the history, they had the original virus before it mutated and got out of control. And the scientists in 2035 need to understand it so they can get humanity back above ground. And along the way, James Cole, he's got to kill some thugs to protect the doctor. And, you know, she doesn't know whether she's scared of him or not, because right now she's sort of kidnapped. But she comments how, like, yo, you didn't have to kill those people. And then James Cole says, all I see are dead people, meaning he lived through the apocalypse already. Like, he's from the future. It doesn't matter. Everyone's dead anyway. Curious enough, though. Haley Joel Osment's character in The Sixth Sense also said something very similar, right? Do you remember that? He said, I see dead people. And this was in 1999, The Sixth Sense was released. So this was after, right? Also, by the way, filmed in Philly, set in Philly. Also, by the way, Haley Joel Osment's character in Sixth Sense, guess what his name was? Cole Sear. Again, strange echoes and reverberations in the, Mandela effect, whatever you want to call this, in the consciousness. So James Cole and Dr. So-and-so, they're looking for, I didn't catch her name, by the way. That's why I keep calling her Dr. So-and-so. They locate the animal rights group. It's called FAA at the time, before it turns into the 12 Monkeys. And of course, they find out it's run by, guess who? Jeffrey Gones. Because apparently he got out at some point of the mental hospital. And he was saying that he had a wealthy virologist father while in the mental hospital. Right? He said, my father's famous. I'm getting out of here. Turns out he was right. And now, curious idea here. There's also we talked about Manson and the Air, Tree, Waters Animal Group. There's also the Best Friends Animal Sanctuary down in southern Utah. Very famous place. Well, look who started that. The Process Church, a church that believed that Satan was God and all this wacky stuff. That allegedly also Charles Manson was a member of or familiar with. They did publish a magazine with an article written by Charles Manson. Now, and all this is so curious to me because, like, I've got these granola ways and it's like, do I support these these satanic ideas? Can I have it both ways? Can I love animals and the environment and earth and also love Jesus? Why are these two things incompatible? These are big questions. Big questions. Big problems. Yeah, anyway, so the virologist Dr. Father, turns out he's buddies with old Ponytail, the technocrat guy who was asking for the book signing, who suggested that man deserved to die for the way he treats air, trees, waters, and animals. And one of the animal rights people, ironically, who was in this FAA animal rights group, was played by a guy named Matt Ross. Do you know who Matt Ross is? I'm about to tell you. He was in American Psycho, another great film, easily a top 50 film. He plays this dude that's kind of gay. And he was also... And guess what else? Guess what else Matt Ross is all... Face Off. Yes. He could eat a peach for hours. I'm so terrible. I'm so terrible, the Nick Cage voice. But there it is. He was in Face Off and Silicon Valley as the Steve Jobs type CEO granola guy. So yeah, I thought that was curious. This must be one of his first roles. He barely had any lines in it. So James Cole, Dr. So-and-so, they get back in the car, and they're talking about how Jeffrey Gones said that his father was God, but he's just a scientist. You see how they're conflating the two? Much like Matt Ross's character in Silicon Valley, the show, with portraying Steve Jobs, there's this sort of god complex with these technopaths.
People like that aren't accessible, okay? You can't just barge in on them. It's not how the world works.
Just be quiet and drive the car. Do it.
Oh, no, you don't. This car is stolen. Okay, we are in big trouble. Okay, big trouble. You don't turn yourself over to the police, they're going to kill you, and they're going to shoot me, too, because I'm going to be an accessory to murder.
You're all going to die.
Nobody is going to die. You're not going to save the world. Okay? You're delusional. You've made all this up out of bits and pieces in your head.
No.
Yes. Let me give you an example. You know Jeffrey Goins? We're both patients at County Hospital.
Jeffrey Goins was a fruitcake.
And he told you then that his father was a famous scientist who worked with viruses, so you incorporated that bit of information to this cockeyed fantasy.
He didn't say his father was a scientist. He said his father was God.
This is insane.
Prominent psychiatrist and author.
And you see how things intermix and intermingle, and it gets very confusing, because you've got these people like Elon Musk and all these types that are making technology that makes our lives better, yet it also marches us down the path of transhumanism. Much like my conflict between liking to protect animals and the environment, but somehow that marches me down the path of Satanism. Now, the virologist, Dr. Goins, the doctor dad who thought he was God, he is at a dinner, an elitist dinner, giving a speech, and you're going to hear some curious elements here. He's talking about how these elites, they're responsible for the masses. They've been chosen, right? That's kind of their attitude. And then you'll also, if you listen very closely, hear a reference to the archetype of Lucifer himself.
Would that I could enjoy this opulent dinner and this most stimulating and exciting company for itself with no sense of purpose. But alas, I am burdened. For with all this excess of public attention and cacophony of praise, there comes great responsibility. Now, I don't have to tell you all that the dangers of science are a time-worn threat. From Prometheus stealing fire from the gods,
boyfriend. I have no,
to the Cold War era of the Dr. Strangelove terror. But never before.
This is ridiculous. Father's giving a major reason
to fear the power we have at hand.
You heard it. He compares Prometheus taking the fire from the gods to himself. That's what these guys think. They talk about Dr. Strangelove a bit, and fear and power and what's going on and how they need to be the adults in the room. And again, maybe they're right. Humans on a massive scale sometimes can't get things right. I prefer my freedom, personally, over a nanny state. But I'm not saying they're entirely wrong. Like, people do dumb things. People do selfish things sometimes when they're up against the wall. Not everyone is perfect. When you extrapolate that to billions of people, you can see why it's so enticing for these people that are in these positions of power to want to control us. I'm not defending it. I'm not advocating for it. I'm just saying this is their viewpoint. They think they're not wrong. They think they're right. And that's why. Now, James Cole, he meets up with Jeffrey Goins to talk about these monkeys, the 12 monkeys. He tries to get the info, and boom, he gets zapped back to 2035. And at this point, Dr. Rayleigh, that's her name. I just found it. Dr. So-and-so there. Dr. Rayleigh. I said I didn't have her name. I had it written down earlier. Duh. Anyway, Dr. Rayleigh, she starts to realize, like, oh my God, James Cole, he really is a time traveler. Now she's on Team Cole. She thinks he's like the deus ex machina, however you pronounce that. The god from the machine, right? Coming to save mankind. Meanwhile, Cole's back underground. Well, not meanwhile. He's in the 2035. He's back underground. And they're calling him a hero because he actually made contact with the 12 monkeys. He won. Victory. He gave them what they wanted. He's going to get the full pardon. But James Cole, being the hero that he is, he opts to go back in time, back above ground, to get more info. Meanwhile, the virologist, he's talking to Ponytail. And you confirm they are linked together as harbingers of this revolution. Right? Because this whole time you're thinking it's Brad Pitt's crazy character. You're thinking Jeffrey Gones is the guy to unleash the virus. But no, no, no. It's his father, the virologist, the wealthy elitist, and the other technopath, old Ponytail, who think that mankind's the needs to be checked. They think mankind needs checked. And they're the ones that do it. And Dr. So-and-so, she is, what was her damn name? I gotta take better notes, guys. I'm very sorry. Anyway, Dr. So-and-so, she's spray painting the outside of the building. You know, why do 5 billion people have to die? And if you recall, I thought of the Georgia Guidestones, which had these ominous messages about the future. And I looked it up. I thought, wow, didn't that say something about 5 billion? No, it didn't. It says the population needs to be reduced to less than 500 million, which is that's a very low number. But it does make me think of this movie. Maybe that's what the unleashing of the virus is meant to do. Maybe that's what they want. We always hear about the idea of population reduction, right? And you've heard Bill Gates talk about the vaccine for population reduction, which many people get wrong. They think that he's saying like the vaccine's going to kill people. That's not just his justification, his version of why he said that. He's saying that other cultures that have many, many kids will have less kids because those kids are going to be healthier. And they're, because apparently in some of these cultures, they'll have like 10 kids knowing that like two of them are going to die from some disease. With the idea that eventually they'll say, oh, these kids aren't going to die of the disease. Let's only have the 8 kids or whatever. I don't know. It's all very suspect. But yeah, those Georgia Guidestones, they're the ones talking about the universal language, the world court, being in balance with nature, and all this stuff. And I'll put the photo on the Instagram of the spray paint thing, of her spray painting 5 billion. Not that you need that. Who cares, right? Jeffrey Gones, he talks about his mind being put into a probability matrix. This guy sees the future, right? He knows. He talks about how they're going to predict thoughts and behaviors, which is essentially what social media is doing. They're harvesting data, and they're essentially putting your mind into a digital matrix already.
I've seen that before.
No, no, James, you haven't.
A guy in a Ford is chasing her and some other guy I can't see.
Hey, no problem. It's probably just another kidnapping featuring Jeffrey Shrink. Pardon me. Make that X shrink. This is your leader, a certifiable lunatic who told his former psychiatrist all his plans for God knows what wacko irresponsible schemes, and now God knows what she's written out there on that wall.
Who cares what psychiatrists write on walls?
You think I told her about the army of the 12 monkeys? Huh. Impossible. Do you know why? Do you know why? Because you pathetically ineffectual and pusillanimous pretend friend to animals. I'll tell you why. Because when I had anything to do with her 6 years ago, there was no such thing. I hadn't even thought of it.
Then how come she knows what's going on?
Well, see, here's my theory on that. When I was institutionalized, my brain was studied exhaustively in the guise of mental health. I was interrogated. I was x-rayed. I was examined thoroughly. Then they took everything about me and put it into a computer where they created this model of my mind. Yes, using that model, they managed to generate every thought I could possibly have in the next, say, 10 years, which they then filtered through a probability matrix of some kind to determine everything I was going to do in that period. So you see, she knew I was going to lead the army of the 12 monkeys into the pages of history before it ever even occurred to me. She knows everything I'm ever going to do before I know it myself. How's that? Question.
You finish here, I'll meet you there. And if you forget one thing, I will have you shaved, sterilized, and destroyed.
Jeff.
What?
You're a great man.
So Jeffrey Gones, he knows the script. They're using our data to predict our actions and therefore control us. And in their defense, they claim it's for our own protection because we're just untrustworthy. So James Cole, he comes back again to 1996. He's fully red-pilled the doctor. She believes in him. But now he doubts himself. Now he doesn't believe his own self. And at this point, we really confirm that the movie has a hard-on for Key West. We see a couple commercials in the movie at this point. We see a travel poster. And that is where they are attempting to flee. James Cole and Dr. So-and-so, they're going to go down to the Key West to ride it out and see what happens. Down to old Boomerville. I've been there. It was a good time. Boomerville. That was Boomer Central. Speaking of, another side note. Remember that there's a thing called Salt Life? That's like every Key West boomer is wearing a Salt Life t-shirt when you go down. Yeah, the guy, one of the founders of Salt Life, a boomer, of course, right? In his 50s. Apparently there's allegations that he shot his 18-year-old girlfriend, or his girlfriend shot an 18-year-old girl he was having an affair with, or something like that. These boomers, man, they're living their best lives out here. Messing around with 18-year-old girls. Why are we talking about Salt Life? Oh, yeah, Key West, right? So they're going to Key West. Oh, boy. So in 2035, apparently they don't have any more Salt Life shirts in Key West. But in 1996, they do. They do. So they're going down to Key West. And we find out, as they're traveling down there, they hear on the radio that the 12 monkeys, they weren't releasing the virus. They were just letting animals out of the zoo. Right? They were just a bunch of activist punks. So Brad Pitt this whole time has been a good guy. Or not that bad of a bad guy, we should say. They're just trying to release the animals, man. Now, the real virus super spreader, the real psychopaths are the technopaths. The old ponytail and the virologist elitist father. These are your Jonas Salk type folks. Bill Gates. All these guys. So they're the ones really that are going to make this happen. And James Cole, he starts hearing the voices of Bob in his head. And he's yelling at some guy in the toilet in the bathroom. And the guy, he's dropping a deuce. And he's so scared he doesn't even wash his hands. And my God, filthy human animals. Maybe they deserve it. He just runs out of the bathroom. But he hears these voices of Bob. And we think of Project Bluebeam and the Elon Musk Neuralink. And I talked about Bluebeam in my Alien book. How that fits into voices in your head and all that stuff. That's in Aliens, UFOs, and the Occult, Use Illusion 1, if you're curious. Now, James Cole, he's supposed to shoot and kill old Ponytail at the airport because he's having these flashbacks from childhood memories, right? This whole time. And another time traveler comes back and he gives him the gun because he's at the airport trying to go to Key West, remember? And the other guy's like, bro, kill Ponytail. I'm from the future. You got to do this. Get your pardon. And James Cole is trying to catch up to Ponytail. He's going to shoot him. He's going to do it. Save humanity. But then, boom. Security guards see all this go down, and they shoot and kill James Cole. Cops, right? Good for killing. Now the final scene is very revealing. We're going to play the clip here. And what you're about to hear is, it's 1996, James Cole has just been shot and killed by the cops, Ponytail successfully got onto his flight with his suitcase with the virus, because he's about to spread it all over the world, and he sits next to a woman, and she turns out to share his same disdain for the human population.
It's obscene. All the violence, all the lunacy. Shootings even at airports now. You might say that we're the next endangered species. Human beings.
I think you're right, ma'am. I think you've hit the nail on the head.
Jones is my name. I'm an insurance.
Now, what's curious is this lady looks identical to one of the scientists on the panel in 2035 Underground. But on the show, like, subtitles and such, it shows her in the future as a botanist or something like that, right? But on the movie clip in 1996, she says she's into insurance, which I found curious. But you hear the disdain for the human population, and therefore the virus is about to spread. This is every technopath's fantasy, and then we're going underground forever. Okay? Now, in conclusion, let's wrap up with this, what you just watched. I watched this movie when I was like 18 or something like that. I remember it being very bizarre, very hard to follow. And I don't know, maybe I'm a genius now, but I was perplexed at how confusing the storyline was with the first time I watched it, the first couple times when it came out. Maybe it was because they were talking about viruses and quarantines and it seemed like bizarro science fiction. But we see how all that is not so much the case, right? It's not so much bizarro sci-fi anymore. But the big idea here, it shows what appears to be a mentally disturbed person who's actually the purveyor of truth. It's talking about perspective and consensus reality. And you'll notice how in the movie, James Cole's memories, because it's kind of weird if you haven't seen the movie. When he's a child, he's at the airport in Key West and he witnesses himself from the future trying to shoot old Ponytail. But you'll see how this memory, it sort of keeps replaying throughout the movie and it morphs over time. And this is just like what I talked about in Use Your Illusion 1. When I talked about how Brian Williams, the journalist, had that false memory of the helicopter shootings. He swore he was in a helicopter that got shot down in Iraq or whatever. But it was just because he had reported on it so much and heard so much about it that over time, his brain gave him this false memory syndrome. Now, ironically, in the same book I wrote, I cite Dr. Diana Pasulka, who talked about the 100th monkey in her book American Cosmic. I'm going to read to you. The 100th monkey was part of a backlash against the alien abduction cultural narrative, but hypnotic regression has persisted as a convention of alien abduction investigations. As scholars of film studies have begun to work with scholars of memory, the results may shed light on hypnotic regression and alien abduction. A recent edition of the journal Memory Studies was devoted to scholarship on memory and film. The editors write, quote, "Over the past two decades, the relationship between cinema and memory has been the object of increasing academic attention. The growing interest in film and cinema repositories for representing, shaping, creating, recreating, or indexing forms of individual and collective memories." So we kind of get a taste of this. And that's what my argument is in Use Your Illusion 1. We won't get into that now, but like the argument is that entertainment is indoctrinating us with thoughts, beliefs, which will become reality of aliens and UFOs. Now, these technopaths, are they entirely wrong in their belief that humans are dreadful animals? I don't think they're entirely wrong. I know that's controversial. I'm very sorry. I don't think they're entirely wrong. We do horrific things sometimes. We do our best, but man is flawed, okay? We just are. My problem with them is how they try to handle it and how they try to control us. Like, it just is what it is. Like, people, were as human beings, were a mess, right? And that's okay, and I love it. I think that's great. We're all just trying to do our best. But they want perfection. They want control. And they sell it to you with the illusion of safety. Because it is an illusion, my friends. Now, what's funny is that James Cole, who I'd argue is the Jesus Christ character, which we're going to discuss next on my final talking point, he's trying to save humanity from itself. Well, guess what? So are the technopaths. They're doing the same thing. They both think they're doing the right thing. The technopaths, they're on the satanic path. They're destroying God's creation to rebuild it because God's creation is such a mess. Mankind is the worst. They want to scorch the earth and remove this material limitation of the human body on this prison planet. They buy into that Gnosticism argument. You gotta release the spirit trapped from the confines of the flesh. Whereas James Cole, he's more the Christ figure. He's trying to save humanity from itself as well, just in a different fashion. And finally, last point, the religious element here. We have as above, so below, many times in this, right? And I'll give you another photo on the Instagram at As It Was. The imagery we see of James Cole above ground and below ground, you'll notice when he enters both dimensions, they're washing them down. They're scrubbing them down at the hospital above ground. They're washing them and scrubbing them down underground in 2035. With them sweet butt cheeks. Bruce Willis must have been hitting them squats hard in the 90s, right? He didn't skip leg day. Got them glutes. Now, you guys are going to think I'm gay for sure now. Forget it. Now, this is all about the initiatory tale of Bruce Willis. Okay. Bruce Willis is the Christ figure. You've seen it on the movie poster with the all-seeing eye woking up his the monkey sigil from the 12 Monkeys logo. But you'll notice it was called 12. 12 monkeys. And you know that's got significance. Because it represents the 12 disciples. Now, in the mystery religion, they look to the number 13 and as the representation of the persecution of the mystery schools, because Christ plus his 12 disciples is 13. Because the mystery religion, it's all about the heavens. Again, there's your as above stuff. And the 12 houses of the zodiac and how each sign influences different areas of the sky and all this New Age Aquarius stuff. But James Cole, JC, is your Jesus Christ character, okay? Because he plays the transcendent figure beyond our limited understanding of space and time. And much like Jesus Christ himself, when he died, he went underground to hell to redeem Adam and Eve, the original sinners, from hell and redeem all of mankind and give them path to salvation so that you can go to heaven when you die. When you repent of your sins. And notice that God and Jesus, they weren't like, they weren't saying, hey, shame on you for being bad. They're just saying, you have to acknowledge that man is born short of the glory of God, full of sin. And you just do your best. And you ask for repentance. That's it. That's all you got to do. We're only on this earth for a limited time before we slip into the next dimension. He's not asking perfection. Right? I'm going to put on my priest collar. Hang on a minute. Let me grab it real quick. Anyways, the 12 monkeys, they are, it's kind of like a reference, right? You got James Cole, JC, Jesus Christ, and then you got the 12 monkeys, the 12 disciples. And they're following the seed of knowledge that James Cole dropped on Jeffrey Gones at the mental hospital way back in 1990. Right? This further proves my point that James Cole is Jesus Christ character. Because recall, and I'm going to play, I'll play the clip for you. Jeffrey Gones, he says at this party in 1996, because, you know, Jeffrey Gones gets out of the mental hospital. And in 1996, when James Cole gets sent back to find the 12 monkeys and Jeffrey Gones, Jeffrey Gones confirms this at a house party and basically says, hey, James Cole, you're the one that dropped the seed of knowledge upon me way back in 1990 in the mental hospital.
Mm-hmm. Gee, Arnie, it's black tie. I mean, I said drop by, but it's like Dad's big do. Bips, senators, Secret Service. You hungry, Arnie? Real killer feast we're putting on tonight. Lots of dead lamb, dead cow, dead pig. Going?
Hi, how are you?
Hello. The Great Escape, 1990. Watch it. Huh? County Hospital?
Yeah,
am I right?
I can't do anything about what you're going to do. I can't change anything. I won't stop you. I can't stop you. I just want the information.
Come on.
Hi, ladies. So nice to see you again. Remember to watch your step on the way down.
Oh, all right. Who blabbed? Brunt? Weller? I just want access to the pure virus.
Virus?
Yes, for the future. I need to know where it is and exactly what it is.
Ah,
I get it. I see what you're up to. It's your old plan, isn't it?
What plan?
Your plan.
You know what you're talking about. What plan?
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. We were in the day room watching television, and you were all upset about the desecration of the planet, which I understand. But then you said to me, wouldn't it be great if there was a germ or a virus that would wipe out all of mankind,
no,
like the animals
no.
and the trees? That
no, you're
so
just trying
funny,
to confuse
man.
Me.
It was so funny. And I told you my father was this famous virologist, and you said, hey, he can make a germ, and we can steal it.
Right, go, go, go. Right, you were so funny. They mutate. We live underground. The world belongs to the dogs and cats. We live like worms. We just need the information.
So there you go. Confirmation. James Cole is Jesus Christ. The 12 monkeys are the 12 disciples. James Cole transcends the limitations of space and time to show man the path to salvation. And the technopaths, they're the worst. Right? So there you go. That's the whole movie. What a trip. What a trip. You had time travel. You got ponytail technopaths. We got the idea of creating a new world, a new reality, based upon what these technopaths think is best for us, because we're such a mess. Which is very fitting if you give into the ideas of the New World Order, the pursuits of the elite globalists. The elite globalists want to pursue a communist Marxist agenda and a transhuman future through the Davos, through the World Economic Forum, Klaus Schwab, and the Great Reset and all this stuff. That's the argument, right? Which reality do you believe in? Which one do you subscribe to? That's up to you to decide. I want you to think about these things. I want you to think long and hard about these things. These are big concepts in this film. That's why I highly recommend it. That's why it's definitely on the top 50. All right, I hope you enjoyed the show. If you do, drop a review on a rating for the podcast. I'm thumbing through them again. It's a good time, I guess. You can drop that on iTunes or wherever you're listening to the show. Stay subscribed, and until next time, stay woke.